all have questions. Questions like, why is it called a building if it's already built? Why is there no egg in eggplant? And do penguins have knees? But some questions are more important than others. This past Easter, we gave a survey to find your most asked questions. Questions like, how do I hear God's voice? How can I deal with difficult people? What does the Bible say about forgiveness and heaven? And what's the answer for all of my stress? Every week, we're going to answer your most asked questions and discover God's best plan, because you asked for it.
All right.
Welcome to... I don't need that one. I'm not wired on that one.
Welcome to part one of our series, You Asked For It. And as we begin, let me just again say welcome to Crosspoint. And also, let me welcome those that have just connected with us via online. Come on, give it up for those that are joining us online. We're actually expanding our audience beyond these walls, and it's really exciting to see how many people are connecting with Crosspoint. And those of you that are here at Crosspoint, I encourage you, check in on Facebook if you like, and that kind of just helps us spread the word about what's happening here. And we're just. Are you excited about what you just heard and some of what's happening? And we got more things coming we'll tell you about next week that are actually happening this month that you don't want to miss out on. A lot of good things. So really encouraged and excited about this series as we begin today. We actually asked some questions back Easter. It's a good time to ask some questions, take a survey, because that's usually when everybody seems to show up at the same time. And so we, in fact, we even refreshed that questionnaire just recently because I said we just need a little more response. And we actually are taking our six top responses from that survey and building a series around that. And just, I like to point this out because I think it's important that you know that this is actually very biblical. This happened with Jesus. The disciples oftentimes would ask him questions, so they would sort of establish the agenda as far as their questions goes, and then Jesus would address those questions. So this is an opportunity for you to do that. You know, you're just asking some questions. What does the Bible say about this and that you're concerned about? Interestingly, I was going to take the top six. We actually had top eight. We had an eight-way tie. But we looked at a couple of those that seemed to relate, sort of be similar. And so we've whittled that down to six messages that I believe is really going to be a blessing to you. In fact, you're going to hear from some other people in our church as well during this time of our series, and it's just going to be a great time of enriching. And interesting, though, that this top category seems to always show up in every survey, and that is this area of stress. So it seems to be a very recurring theme that all of us seem to, on some level, deal with this area of stress in our life. Can anybody agree with that? Just give me a little nod. Okay, yeah. So, and that can be good or bad stress. That it could be from something that's happened negative in your life. It could be also from something that happens very positive. I remember studying this years ago back in school, that there's distress and there's these stressors that causes distress from a negative source, but there's also eustress. You can get a promotion on a job and it still produces stress in your life. And so change can produce stress. In fact, as I looked at this topic, I want to bring up to you some causes of stress and just sort of lay these out there for you as you search. What are the causes of stress? Let me just lay out, and there's actually several of them. One of the causes is a death of a loved one. Could be a cause that causes a lot of stress in the family. If you've never been through that, especially someone close to you, it's really tough to go through. Also, confrontations in general. How many deal with confrontations? I mean, sometimes on a daily basis, depending on where you work or where you're in school, what have you, confrontations. Marriage actually can be a source of stress. I know it's supposed to be marital bliss and everything's wonderful, but there's this, you're working through life together, and sometimes even from marriage there can be some stress put on that. Deadlines, trying to get deadlines in for a job or an assignment or a test or, you know, whatever you're doing. Deadlines, legal problems is a source of stress. Legal problems. Also, job loss. A lot of people out of work. You know, a lot of times people come to the church and they say, "Pastor, please pray. I'm looking for work. I'm out of a job." Divorce, and I understand that that actually can affect up to half of us in some way or another, dealing with divorce. How about a new job? A new job is a source of stress. or just the current job you're in, just the job, right, causes stress. Retirement. You know, you would think that that would de-stress you, like de-stress, but actually it causes oftentimes that adjustment there, stress. Money problems, it's a source of stress. Illnesses, dealing with health issues. Parenting, newsflash, parenting can be a source of stress. No parents out there today, all right? And the pace of life, just our busyness of life can cause stress. Here's one for you, and that is the expectations of others. Always trying to please somebody else and live up to what somebody else expects of us can be a source of stress in our life. In fact, I put one on there of my own that can be a source of stress, and it's called Florida State football. That can be a source of stress, I'm just saying. Not living up to my expectations. We'll move on from that because we don't want to spend much time there. Any Carolina fans out there? Don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. Hush, 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 hush. Okay. And here's another one. You can find all these online, you know, where you search and research for what the cause of stress is. But here's one that I've added, and that's unresolved sin. You know, if you're living this life where you're walking around with this thing in your life that you know is not right, and it's causing guilt and causing shame, and you're dealing with that, or maybe you're living a double life, you're kind of straddling the fence, trying to figure out whether you're in or out. So someone once said, if you're sitting on this fence, it's not a very comfortable place. And so that in itself can cause stress. Now, if you look at this list, the bad news is that you can't do anything really for the most part, and in a lot of cases, to stop these things from happening. This is called life. It's just life. And I've said to my wife before, you know, when she'll talk to me about different issues and things going on, and I've told her, I said, honey, I would love to put you and me and all of us just in a bubble and everything be perfect. But I can't do that. That's just not real life. Real life happens. And there's these things in life that are going to happen. And this may be a surprise to you, but God never obligated himself to make none of these things happen. And I think some people get misunderstand God's role. I think some people think that God obligated himself that every day should be great for them. You know, the sun should be shining every day. And when it's not, man, God, you failed me. I thought the sun was going to shine today. But, you know, so he never obligated himself for you to be all the time happy. He never did that. But God actually obligated himself to do something else. And that is very good. And that's what we need to know about. And that is that in the middle of this thing called life, he can help you rise up above it all. In the midst of all of this, in the middle of all this, while all this is going on the outside, something very different can be taking place on the inside. And that's good news. There is the circumstances are not always going to change. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But in the midst of all that, there can be this place of peace, this wonderful word called peace. There is, you've heard this phrase, there is peace in the midst of the storm. There is peace to be found. And I'm telling you, we live in a city right now that has a lot of unrest going on, a lot of issues happening, okay, all around us, in our very community in which we live, and in our city of Charlotte. But I just want to tell somebody some good news, and that is there is peace in the midst of it all. And it's not found in just getting the issues resolved or the circumstances changed. It's even while the issues are going on and the circumstances are happening that right there in the midst of it, there is a person, the Prince of Peace, that you can discover. He is the peacemaker. He's the peace speaker. He is the Prince of Peace, and he's the only one that can give you true peace, everybody. He's the God of Peace. And when you study scriptures and you read about peace throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, you'll discover that He is still the God of peace. He is still God Shalom. He is the one that speaks peace and even brings joy on the inside when there's suffering going on the outside. So the question would be, then how do I get it? I mean, how can I get some of that? Well, look at the words of Jesus found in John chapter 16, in verse 33, when He says, I have told you these things. Now, I encourage you to go read this entire discussion that Jesus is happening in John chapter 14, 15, and 16. And so when He says, I told you these things, He's telling us all, telling the disciples all of these things are going to happen. But then He says, I've told you these things so that in Me you may have peace. It's found in Him. And then He said, in this world you will have trouble. Now they didn't have any idea how much trouble. And Jesus was trying to prepare the disciples about what was going to happen. I mean, He was about to be crucified. They are going to be persecuted. I mean, the church is going to be persecuted and all these things that were going to happen for them. And so He's letting them know that in this world, you're going to have that life, that list that's going to happen. But in the midst of it all, Jesus says, in Me you can have peace. In this world you're going to have trouble. But then He said, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So He's saying that you can rise above it. Psalm 34, 19 says this, many are the afflictions of the righteous. So God never promised that life is going to be perfect for you. In fact, the Bible says that man is born of woman is few days and full of trouble. But so there's many afflictions that are going to happen. It's going to happen. But then it says, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. The list will happen, but you can rise above it. If you look at that word afflictions, the Hebrew definition, when you look at what is being described there, it really refers to an Assyrian form of torture where they would actually take you and tie you to a post. And then they would begin to pile rocks upon you, heavy, big boulder rocks upon you until the last one is put upon you until the pressure just gets so great until you are actually crushed under the weight of it. And I just think that could be a picture oftentimes of our life, that we have one thing pounded upon us after another, the job or the job loss or the marriage, the kids, the finances, and rock after rock keeps being piled upon us. And then, then the loss of the loved one, boom, this, that last, and we just get crushed underneath the weight of it all. But the Bible promises that the Lord delivers him out of them all. There is a promise, no matter what you're going through, that the Lord is going to bring deliverance to your life. He'll deliver you from that. And so how does He do that? And so I believe it's when we follow what I'm calling this recipe for dealing with stress that we'll be able to discover the promise that He gives us, that He's going to deliver them, those out of them all. And so I want to look at this morning at five things. In fact, we're going to a scripture that's found the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians. And it's a beautiful chapter because it really just outlines for us how to deal with stress. And so your outline that you have there, and it's there in your worship guide. You can pull that out and follow along. We're going to fill in some spaces here. But really, the Bible, the chapter of Philippians, chapter 4, is the outline for dealing with stress. In fact, Philippians is a beautiful book. It's only four chapters. It will not take you long to read through that. I encourage you to study that. We did a series not too long ago on this book of Philippians where Paul is in prison. Get this, folks. He's awaiting execution, right? He's already been sentenced to death. And in Rome, I don't know what that's going to look like. It could be lions. It could be vicious stuff, torturous ways they had of executing their prisoners. And here was Paul in this place, and he was writing this book. And all through it, he just says, joy, 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 joy. I mean, can you get this? This guy's about to be executed, and all he's writing about is joy. In fact, he begins this chapter by saying, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. How can you have that kind? Well, Paul kind of breaks this out for us, and he mentions five things that I submit to you. Not only does it work for Paul, but I believe it will work for every one of us as we're dealing with the stresses of life. And so, and I believe also, as I share this with you, as we put this into practice, every one of us, at least one of these things into practice, come on, we put these things into practice, these things on our list, we're going to be able to experience the peace of God in the midst of all that. And so I want us to follow this recipe of five things and to experience this promise. So, in fact, twice in this chapter, there's mentioned this peace of God. There's this peace of God which transcends all understanding. And the Bible goes on to say, it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So let's look at this. Number one is simply this. Write this down. Worry about nothing. Philippians 4 and 6, Paul says this. Do not be anxious about anything. Or the word there implies worry. Don't worry about anything. Someone once said that worrying is borrowing something from the future that probably is never going to happen anyway. It's being consumed about something that has happened that we can't undo, or something that has not happened and we're not even sure that it will. And I'm convinced that that is robbing us. If you look at a word study of that word worry, it comes from this word that actually means to choke or to strangle. Greek word of that means it's a divided mind. You know, just can't figure out this, how to go about this. And so we say, well, you know, you say, well, just stop worrying. That's not so easy, is it? Well, just stop worrying. Don't worry about it. One of my favorite teachers in school, in elementary school, her biggest phrase was, don't worry about it, honey. Don't worry about it. I didn't do my homework. Don't worry about it. I love that teacher. I'm just saying. But it's not so easy. It's like the person that I heard that he had, this guy was taking an airplane somewhere, and he had somebody traveling with him that was very, very much afraid of flying. And so this guy was concerned about his friend. His friend was clinging to his arm. You know, I mean, they weren't even down the runway yet, you know, and he was sweating. And so he thought, well, I just got to help my friend here. And he called the flight attendant over and said, hey, would you help my friend? You know, I mean, he just really, I mean, would you explain to him, like, how often that a plane like this goes down? And the flight attendant looked at him and said, well, usually once, you know. That, he said, well, you're not really, that's not really a help. You know? You know, and then people say, well, you know, why worry about it? If it's your time, it's your time. If it's not your time, if it's your time. Yeah, but what if it's the pilot's time? I mean, just saying, you know. I'm on his plane, you know. So, a little laughter there. But if we really need to look at this, though, is how do we do this? For each of these, though, I'm going to give you an action step. So, it's one thing to say just stop worrying. But I'm going to give you an action step, a takeaway. For each one of these points. Okay, first of all, let's look at Matthew chapter 6 and 27. It says this, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And so Jesus is explaining, and this is part of that Sermon on the Mount, and he's saying the problem is that we're always thinking out of the moment. We're always taking something that's not an issue. We're borrowing from the future. We're taking something that we can't change. When we should be living, get this, in the now. In the now. In fact, Matt, he goes on to say, concluding that chapter in verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So, someone put it this way, today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. And here you are. Right? God's got guiding you through it, right? And so here's the action step. Write this down. Live one day at a time. Live one day at a time. My wife, a couple years ago, we lost both of her parents and her father. His last words that we heard him say was, one day at a time. And I'm telling you, that's become our theme verse, our theme saying. One day at a time. And the fact is, a lot of times we are missing the beauty of the now moment, regretting yesterday, worrying about tomorrow, and we've totally been robbed of our moment right now, where really reality exists, is in the now moment, right? Living in the now. The now. Jesus' prayer, in fact, when he was teaching us how to pray, he said, give us this day our daily bread. It's about living in the now. I heard about a guy who was diagnosed with cancer. He used to love to play golf with the guys. And from the moment he was diagnosed with cancer, it was a slow-growing cancer they were going to treat and deal with. But from the moment he heard the word cancer, he shut himself in the house. And they would invite him, come on, let's go play some golf. No, I got cancer. I got cancer. And it was 3 years before he even felt any of the symptoms of that cancer. But because of that word cancer, he was robbed because of that fear, because of that stress in his life when there was no need for that to be. I'll tell you, we need to live in the moment. Instead of worrying right now about what am I going to do when I get out of church, you know. I mean, that's a big thing about here. Where are we going to eat? I mean, that's a 30-minute discussion. Where are we going to eat, you know? I mean, you might be thinking, I wonder, did I cut that crock pot down on low, or am I, you know, we're thinking about the job we got to do tomorrow. We're thinking about what happened yesterday. Folks, right now, we are in church, and it's the Lord's day. And here we are worshiping him. And oftentimes, we just rob him of everything because we're always there or there. I'm going to bring that picture. I think about it every time I get up here. A few weeks ago, my family and I went to a picnic, had a picnic in the park. And as always, and this is not, you know, criticizing anybody, but my sweet little wife, we get to one place and she'll say, okay, what are we going to do next? She just, you know, she keeps me going, okay? She said, where are we going to? And I'm like, and I looked over and I saw this big old oak tree casting a beautiful shade on a beautiful green lawn. And I just said, I laid down and I said, I'm here. This is what we're doing. This is the next. This is here now. I'm just, and so she laid down with me. I got this wonderful picture of me laying, you know, like, and she's, and I'm, and you know, I don't know if she was rubbing my hair or anything, but I was enjoying myself, okay? There were no grapes in this picture, okay? Nothing like that. My boys weren't fanning us with palm fronds or anything. But it just is one of those moments that captured this essence of live in the now. I mean, live in the now. Enjoy the now, right? Because we're missing life, not living in the moment that God has given to us. And so get that point, would you? Okay, worry about nothing. Live one day at a time. Number two, pray about everything. It's interesting. It's not just stop worrying, it's start praying. You can replace a lot of worry with prayer. And interesting, the Bible never tells you to stop doing something without telling you to start doing something else. And I love that. One of the messages in this series, we're going to talk about battling addictions. And you don't just battle addictions from running from something. You've got to run to something. Okay? And so the Bible tells us what to do, and that's pray about everything. Pray right, and this is one thing I've learned. Pray right there in the moment. Turn to God immediately. There's some things that the enemy loves to bring up to my mind, and I'm sure he does to you too. And I've learned that the moment some of that comes into my mind, I pray immediately. And this is where I say, Holy Spirit, I release this to you right now. I can't handle this. You're bigger than I can. You got bigger shoulders than I do. Look, I just give this to you. So we got to pray immediately and pray about everything. Prayer should be our first response and not our last resort. Can I get a good amen right there, everybody? Right? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. In everything, whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, whatever the difficulty is, whatever the source of stress may be, come on, give it to God. Pray first, right? Pray before you send that email. Pray before you answer that phone or make that phone call. Pray before that meeting. Pray when you're dealing with a difficulty. Pray before that test. Amen. Come on. Some students say, yeah. And so, I mean, pray before the deadline. Pray before that conversation. And everything with prayer, with thanking God. Present your request to God. And look what happens. Here's the promise. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So I'm encouraging you today. Live in the moment. Enjoy, right? I mean, at the end of the service, we're going to have a time of prayer. We're going to sing a last song, and there's going to be some time where if you'd like prayer and come down, need to be, you know, you just need somebody to pray with you regarding the stress in your life. You know, that last song is not for heading to the restaurant. Come on, one song, one message. Come on, one moment at a time. Y'all getting this? Y'all getting anything out of this, all right? Live in the moment. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, cast all your anxiety or your worry on Him because He cares for you. I love this. There's no problem too big for His ability, and there's no problem too small for Him to care for you. Write this down. He cares. That's an action step for you, and that's to remember that He cares. Oh, yes, He cares. He cares about every detail of your life. I wonder if perhaps the reason God put such detail at the bottom of the ocean, He's that concerned about that, and the details in the universe, to demonstrate to you and I that He's concerned about every detail of our life. Amen? He cares for us. Look at number 3. Think about the right things. So, here we are. We're trying to get rid of worry, we're praying, we feel good, we're in church, but then we go out from here and, you know, we make the decision, but then we go out from here and it leaves us. Why? I believe it's for this reason, because we allow our minds to go to the wrong place. You know, hear a great message, go out, turn on the news. It's gone. I mean, you know, right? Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says this, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. Come on, think about these things, right? Whatever is if anything's excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. So this needs to be our filter, that we're not going to allow certain things in our mind, right? We come to church, we have peace, but we turn on the news. I think sometimes we just need to abstain from some of the news. I'm not trying to say we're an ostrich with our head in the ground and don't realize what's going on, but it would probably do us well at times if we would take seasons of our life just to rest our brain. Come on, rest our mind from all of the stress of the things that we're going through. Right, I know we go through things, but I believe a lot of what we're going through, we've convinced ourselves about it because of the things that we listen to that get within us, right? The movies we watch. I mean, it's bad enough just to watch the commercials for the movies, all right? The music we listen to. I mean, and if you listen to country music, I'm not raising my hand like I do, I'm just saying. If you listen to country music, come on, you know, your dog went off and left you, your truck's broke down, I mean, gloom, despair, and agony on end. Whoa, you know, deep, dark depression. If I had no bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Come on, y'all don't know that song, do you? Anyhow, but really, what comes into our mind? We need to have a filter on our mind of what comes into us. Amen? This is the reason why. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7 says this, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." As a man thinks in his heart, as a woman thinks in her heart, that's what you become. So whatever you're thinking, that's what you're becoming. Right? So we need to look at the filter of Philippians 4. When it comes to television, when it comes to the internet, when it comes to the news, hey, guess what? When it comes to some people. Right? Most of us can't handle negativity, really. Becomes like a cancer, gets in us. I'm just going to, right up here in front of everybody, I'm just going to encourage my staff. If you bring me a problem, bring a solution with it, would you? I mean, give me some options, right? Don't just bring me bad news, right? Let's talk about some solutions. And we do that. I got a wonderful staff. Okay? But let's let's don't just look at the bad and get down into the ditch and just wallow in it, right? So here's what we need to do. Here's an action step. My life is shaped by my thoughts. So it's knowing that. Okay, it's realize this realization that my life is shaped by my thoughts. Having that awareness, all right, and making the wise choices. Now, we can't make the list go away. That's life. But what are you going to do in the middle of all that trouble? Are we going to live for today? Are we going to pray about everything? Are we going to live in the moment? Are we going to think about the right things? I mean, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We used to sing a song. I don't know where I'm going to go when the volcano blows. Sing it to me now, everybody. Yeah, I don't know. No. But y'all know that song? Anybody know that song? Never heard it before. I'm really embarrassing myself. Anyway, there's a song about, I don't know what I'm going to do when the volcano blows. The volcano may never blow, right? But I think sometimes we have these real, our thoughts are crazy at times. And we have these high expectations of what life is supposed to look like. I was going to work yesterday. I work a secular job, for those of you who don't know. And I thought, it's Saturday. Nobody's at McDonald's on Saturday morning, right? I'm just going to swing through there and get me a little sandwich and a coffee. I just felt like it's one of them days I need some coffee. And I went through, and the drive-thru was backed up. It was backed up inside. I just circled the McDonald's. Now I could have been like, man, my day, here we go. Going to be another one of them days, you know? All based on the circumstances. My joy depends on my coffee at McDonald's. Somebody's thinking Dunkin' Donuts right now. I know coffee, but I'm just selling for McDonald's. And I go driving through there, went to work, and you know what the Lord provided for me? Went into the break room. Somebody said, there's donuts in the break room. Donuts in the break room. God saved the day. I went in there. It was Krispy Kreme, y'all. Just want you to know. Not just those little round things with the hole in the middle of it. It was chocolate cream-filled Krispy Kreme donuts in the shape of a football. I'm telling you, God's good. So see, I could have got stressed out at McDonald's, but God had it all ready for me, in the break room. I'm just saying, sometimes we are like roller coasters, you know, depending on is the coffee there or is it not coffee there. I'm not a morning person. Don't mess with me until I've had my coffee. Y'all work with any of those kind of people, right? Come on, we're just so stressed out. We need to pray about everything, right? You can carry it or you can bring it. There's a beautiful song we used to sing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Oh, our needs and griefs to bear. And it says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And so we need to maintain this thing by guarding our mind, right? And knowing that we need to filter everything through God's word and through his promise for our life. Let me give you number four. Be content. Be content with my things. Be contented with my things. We're always trying to compete with the Joneses. If there's a commercial on television, oh, I got to have it. If there's a sale on, oh, we better get it. It's on sale. If I know anything about America, it will be on sale again. Oh, but get them while they last. They'll make it again, right? Always trying to compete. Look at this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 says, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. And I really think sometimes we have unrealistic expectations. And perhaps, and I don't mean this to sound in the wrong, being taken the wrong way, but maybe we need to lower our expectations. Because some of us, we think life is supposed to be so perfect, and my life is so far from perfect. Guess what? It will never be perfect. Sorry, newsflash. I come here to make your day. Life's going to be bad. Life's going to be bad, right? Thank you, Pastor. Can you be more positive? I'm positive. There's going to be bad days. It's going to be bad days. You know, I don't care if your mama didn't tell you there's going to be days like this. There's going to be days like this, right? But if we lower our expectation and understand that every day is a gift, and in other words, if we expect sunshine every day when it rains, come on, man, it's raining again. But if we lower our expectation, oh, if it rains, well, you know, hey, praise the Lord. If it's sunshine, whoa, I didn't know it was going to sunshine today. Praise the Lord. I mean, having this positive outlook and being content with what we have. Philippians chapter 4, verse 12 says this: I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. Let me give you another scripture that's not in your notes, but it's found in Ecclesiastes 4 and 6 that says this: it is better to have only a little with peace of mind than be busy all the time. That's a good verse. Put that one on your refrigerator, right? So maybe instead of your kids playing eight, and by the way, we're going to talk about parenting in this series as well. But listen, maybe instead of your kids playing eight sports, maybe just one. Come on, right? Maybe instead of going out every night of the week, maybe you just pick one, right? Simplify and be content with what you have. 1 Timothy 6 and 6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain, right? So what if instead of saying, Lord, I need a guy, my name is Jimmy, give me, come on. Why don't we instead say this phrase, write this down: Christ is enough for me. He's everything we need and so much more. He's more than you'll ever need. Christ is enough for me. I got all that I need. I don't need it, this. I mean, and the closer you get to God, I'm telling you, the more you realize He's everything and so much more that this world and the things of this world can't even compare to Him. Look at point number 5. Trust God for all things. There's not a lot of trust today in so many different areas. It's amazing the trust that God had. It's amazing the trust that Paul had of God in his circumstance. Paul trusted God with the outcome. I mean, you look at the first chapter of this book. Basically, you know, Paul's just saying, "Hey, well, if you kill me, let's see. If you don't kill me, I get to go on and preach the gospel. But if you kill me, I get to be with Jesus, right?" And so Paul's like, I don't know, you take my head, I'm with him. If you don't take my head, I'll just continue to tell people about him. Either way, it's a win-win. I mean, how do you defeat a person like that? You don't. You don't. Paul had this trust in God for the outcome no matter what. And he said this in verse 13, chapter 4. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. He says, whatever the task, whatever it is, whatever the case may be. In fact, if you look at that in context, he's talking about whether to have a lot or have little. Hey, I can do everything through Christ. So sometimes we think about that. Oh, I can do everything through Christ. What does that mean? Lifting a car, I can do that. Doing something great, mighty feat. No, it's actually having nothing, and I can do that too. Because my source of contentment doesn't come from those things. It comes from him. And so he says, whatever the circumstance, whether I have little or whether I have a lot, I can trust him. I'm content in him. And so trust God for all things. And then knowing this, verse 19, he goes on to say, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Can I tell you this? There is a confidence that comes through relationship. Through relationship. A confidence that comes. I mean, think about it. When you came in today and you sat down in these chairs, I'm sure you had confidence it was going to support you. And the reason for that is you've sat down in enough chairs in your lifetime. You know, you look at a chair, you know it's going to support you. And so you've gotten acquainted with this thing of a chair, and you've trusted it's going to hold you up. And that happens because you have, again, you've sat in a chair enough times, you know. Can I tell you that the closer you get to God, the more you know him, the more confidence you'll have with him, and the more trust it will build in your life. You can trust him. The more you know him. In fact, the more you know him, the more you love him, and the more you love him, the more you trust him. Beautiful psalm, not in your notes, in Psalm 9 and 10 says this: those who know your name, those who get close to you, those who spend time with you, those who know your name will trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. And so write this last point down, and that is this. Trust is born out of real relationship. Out of real relationship. You see, you've walked into a church today that understands that this thing isn't just about going through a religious exercise on Sundays, but actually this whole thing is about a real relationship with a real God. And when we have that kind of relationship, we can trust Him. And I'm telling you, stress will go the closer we get to Him. It just melts off. We spend time in His presence. When we spend time with Him, and we trust in who He is, we trust Him with our life. It's the remedy for your stress. It really is. And it's a place where you can discover peace that only He can give. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? And perhaps you're here today and you just need to come into a right relationship with Him and declare Him as Lord and experience the peace of God that passes all understanding. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Before I do, I just want to pray for everyone. Lord, I thank You for those that are here and those that are even here watching online. And God, I don't know what their situations are. I don't know what that list looks like for them that's causing stress in their life. But I do know that You've outlined in Your Word how we can experience peace and joy. And it all begins by us surrendering everything to You. And so, Lord, give us the courage, step out in faith, and trust You, to look to You, to cast all of our cares on You, knowing that You care for us. Lord, teach us how to cast our entire life upon You. And Lord, when we humble ourselves, cast everything at Your feet, then You have the ability to bring healing. You have the ability to lift us again to our feet and make us brand new on the inside. I pray that You do that throughout this church today. My heads are still bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need peace in my life, and furthermore, I need to make sure I have a right relationship with the Lord. It may be that you had that relationship with Him at one time, but somehow in the process of life, going through the list of life, you're not sure if that relationship is what it should be. Or perhaps you've never even ever established that kind of relationship. Either way, I want to help you this morning by leading you in a prayer of just surrendering, of giving it to the Lord. And I'm telling you, as we do this, as we follow this, as we follow Him, if we seek Him, there's going to be peace that we're going to discover like we've never known. It doesn't even make logical sense, the peace that He gives. It's something that happens on the inside of us that you could know today. But that's you today, and you say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in that prayer? Now, I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front. I'm not going to embarrass anyone. While everyone is seated, their heads are bowed. But if that's you, I want you just to have the courage just to say, Pastor, that's me. When you pray a prayer, would you count me in? If you just slip up your hand, you can put it right back down. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Yes, back here. Hands are going up. Good job. Good job. Good. Yes, good job. All right, you can put your hands down. And those of you that are watching online, just stop chatting for a moment. And just join us in this prayer. And I just like everyone, I'm just going to help you with the words. All you got to do is mean it. Just pray it from your heart. In fact, I'm just going to invite everyone to pray this prayer with us for support. Come on, pray it out loud, would you? Everyone, just say this. Today, Lord Jesus, I thank You for purchasing my peace. When You died on the cross for me, You paid for my debt, and You paid for my peace. Thank You, Jesus. Today, I give You my life. I invite You to come inside of me. Make me brand new on the inside. Give me peace of mind. Give me joy in my heart. Come live inside of me. I give You my life. I turn from my way to follow You. I surrender all. and with all of my heart, I will follow you. Now, Lord Jesus, I accept you. I declare you as the Lord of my life. Lord, I thank you for what has just occurred in this house, for every person who just made that decision and invited you to come in. Now, Lord, I pray for the peace of God that passes all understanding. Come now. Come now. Live inside of them. Walk with them. Speak with them. Guide them. God, cause them to live this thing out, to follow what you've laid out in your word today. Oh, God, and may we know the Prince of Peace. Lord God, may we know the Prince of Peace. God, I pray that you would then use us to speak that peace to others. God, cause this church, Lord, to be used as your hands and feet. God, that we may all come to know, that city will come to know, this community will come to know, the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. In your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Come on, thank the Lord for what's occurred in this house. Come on, come on, give it up, give it up. Lord, we thank you for changed lives. Thank you for changed lives. Good job for those people making the best decision you've ever made.